The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Joanna LaForgia from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Southern Living. For the next half hour, I will be presenting content from the January-February 2025 issue of Southern Living magazine. This week, we'll take a look at some of the sections that are in every issue, such as Ivy's Kitchen and the Grumpy Gardener and then the Grapevine. All right, we're ready? We'll start with, the cover of the magazine has it's in the background is a light brown coffee-colored wooden structure, and it is we are facing the back of a pickup truck, which is light blue on the bottom, and it has a white roof. And this is the back of the pickup truck, and in the foreground, sitting on the back, is Dolly Parton. And that's the bed of the pickup truck is also painted that light sky blue, and it's distressed. It's chipping off, and it reveals wood-colored base there. And Dolly is sitting, as we said, at the edge of the back here. The bumper's also a light coffee color, and it's got a Dollywood theme park bumper sticker on the bumper. Dolly is sitting with a guitar across her lap. She's wearing a denim dress that is bejeweled with butterflies and some silver, tiny silver beads. And the butterflies, the dress zips up the front, or the bodice of it zips up the front. And the butterflies are red and blue with gold beaded outlines on their wings. Dolly is sitting back a bit and smiling, and she has red, white, and blue. It's light, but it's eyeshadow. Her eyeshadow is red, white, and blue. And she's holding the guitar, as we said, across her lap, and she's wearing a red bracelet that matches her red lacquered nails, and a huge red ring. Perhaps it's a ruby. I don't believe it is. I believe it's costume jewelry, but I don't really know these things. I shouldn't surmise. But it's a huge red stone on that ring. And she has her long red lacquered nails, and her hands are holding the neck of her guitar. The print on the cover from top to bottom, January, February 2025, Southern Living, Dolly's Road Ahead. How the Queen of Country Keeps on Truckin', by Rick Bragg, B-R-A-G-G. And down further, 25 places to visit in 2025. Plus, Ivy Odom's Game Time Wings, which we will get to momentarily. And listeners, if you missed the cover story, which we read in our last two episodes, you might recall you can always listen to our this program becomes a podcast after its initial broadcast. And you can find it at ncreadingservice.org. I believe if you don't see Southern Living on there, it will be under specials, and it might be under TBR for Triangle Bulletin Board, which is our previous show. Our volunteer tech people might not have changed the title yet. So it's either under Southern Living or special TBR. You can always access previous issues, and that is as Dolly Parton's story is in those previous issues or any other previous issues we've read. All right. Are you ready? This is In Season, Ivy's Kitchen. We may be late for game time, listeners, but this is Ivy's Hot Honey Butter Chicken Wings. And the photo, full page photo, is of these chicken wings. In the background are a few glasses of some strawberry frothy, maybe it's beer, but no, it looks like some, looks like some kind of a strawberry shake or something, but can't tell. It's blurred in the background. And in the foreground is a white oval colored dish filled with chicken wings, golden chicken wings, and they are garnished with cilantro, and there is a small, one of those little small pots of cilantro sitting atop them, also on the plate. And then there's a profile picture at the bottom in a small circle of Ivy. It's a portrait of Ivy. She's smiling, wearing red lipstick and a brightly colored print top. Can't see much of it, but it's pink and green and blue and white. I guess it's floral, maybe. She's got long brown hair and red lipstick and brown eyes, and she's smiling. And the title of this story is Sweet Heat. Chicken Wings Bring Back Cherished Memories of My Grandfather by Ivy Odom. Every Tuesday night around supper time, I think of my grandfather. When I was growing up, Tuesdays were reserved for our dinner dates. I'd call Papa up a few days before to confirm and let him know my restaurant pick. Moultrie, Georgia, is small, so we would rotate among our usual spots. One of his favorites was Barber's Drive-In, a beloved local joint that was known for their cheeseburgers, slaw, fried pies, and tossed in a sweet and spicy sauce. Oh, excuse me, listeners. I skipped a line here. It was known for their cheeseburgers, slaw, fried pies, and chicken. Their wings were deep fried and tossed in a sweet and spicy sauce. And they were the best I've ever had. Papa loved them, and I liked watching him eat them. There was a special art to the way he would clean the meat clear off the bone, and he was sure to pick off any that I might have left behind. Taking the meat from someone else's half-eaten chicken is surely a sign of true love for the other person, or for wings. In his case, I think it was probably both. It's been years since I've enjoyed a Tuesday supper with Papa. But this recipe is my way to relive all those sweet memories. Although I've made a few tweaks, including baking them instead of frying, I know he would have approved of my version. Every time I make them, or any wing recipe for that matter, I smile and say to myself exactly what he'd say to me. Dang, Ivy, these sure are good. And here's the recipe, listeners. Ivy's Hot Honey Butter Chicken Wings. Don't skip the baking powder. It helps the skin get nice and crispy in the oven. The active time for this recipe is 15 minutes, and the total cooking time is 1 hour and 5 minutes. And it serves 6. Here are the ingredients. 3.5 pounds of chicken wings, about 13 whole wings, cut at the joints, wingtips discarded. 1 tablespoon of baking powder, 4.5 teaspoons of kosher salt, divided, 1/4 cup of unsalted butter, 1/4 cup of honey, 2 teaspoons of hot sauce, 1 small jalapeno, very thinly sliced, and 1/4 cup of fresh cilantro leaves, and those are optional. All right, here are your steps, and there are 4 of them. 1, preheat the oven to 450 degrees Fahrenheit. Pat chicken wings very dry with paper towels and place in a large bowl. Stir together baking powder and 4 teaspoons of the salt in a small bowl and sprinkle over the chicken, tossing well to coat. Step 2. Line a rimmed baking sheet with parchment paper or foil and fit a wire rack inside the baking sheet. Coat rack with cooking spray. Arrange wings with fatty sides down on rack in a single layer. Step 3. Bake until crispy on one side and lightly golden, about 25 minutes. Turn the wings over and bake until well browned and crispy, about 25 minutes. And step 4. Bring unsalted butter, hot honey, hot sauce, and remaining half teaspoon of kosher salt to a boil in a small saucepan over medium high. Boil 30 seconds, stirring constantly. Remove from heat. Place wings in a large bowl. Add hot honey butter sauce and sliced jalapeno. Toss to coat wings in sauce. Transfer to a platter and garnish with fresh cilantro leaves if desired. And there's a small photo of 3 of these chicken wings, just as described on a round plate here, garnished with cilantro, golden brown, garnished with cilantro. Okay, and there's on the right-hand side, there's one column that has a couple of variations here. It says, sauce and toss, 2 more flavorful variations. And there's a small photo here of chicken wings that are tossed with Parmesan and some other things we'll read about in a moment. Parmesan Ranch Chicken Wings. Prepare wings as directed through step 3. Microwave 1/4 cup of unsalted butter in a heat-proof bowl on high until melted, 30 to 45 seconds. Stir in 1 tablespoon of ranch seasoning, 1/2 teaspoon of grated garlic, and 1/4 teaspoon of kosher salt. Place wings in a large bowl. Add ranch sauce to wings and toss to coat. Sprinkle wings with 6 tablespoons of grated Parmesan and 1 1/2 tablespoons of thinly sliced fresh chives. And here's the other. There's a small photo of some chicken wings that appear to be on parchment paper. And they have, this says honey mustard barbecue chicken wings. Prepare wings as directed through step 3. Stir together 6 tablespoons of Chick-fil-A sauce, 5 1/2 teaspoons of Dijon mustard, and 4 teaspoons of honey in a medium bowl. Place wings in a large bowl. Add sauce to bowl as desired and toss well to coat. Garnish with black pepper. And there we have our chicken wings from Ivy's Kitchen. If we're too late for the game, we're not too late to enjoy them at another celebration, maybe the Academy Awards or any celebration where you want to sit around and have some chicken wings. And now we'll move on to the at-home section and the Grumpy Gardener. And this begins with a cartoon. And there is a line of people. And they're people of, let's see, they seem to be all different ages. And there's even a dog here. And they're all different ages and colors. And leading the line is Grumpy saying, hey, you, number 16,000, get back in step. The person at the front of the line is holding a sign that says, we heart Grumpy. And back further in the line, there's one that says, Grumpy Fans United, and another that says, Grumpy Gardener. And, oh, I see only now, listeners, that it's that this is a very long line, very, very long line. There are tiny people fading into the background there. And they're marching across a green field with some green trees and a blue sky in the background. And it's a cartoon. And the caption is, keeping more than 50,000 followers in line demands Grumpy's constant vigilance. And this is by Steve Bender. Dear Grumpy, howdy, Grumpy. How can I follow you? From Linda. It's simple. Log into your Facebook account. If you can remember your password, and then click on the search bar that's at the top left corner of the page. Enter Grumpy Gardener in the box and scroll through the results. Okay, are you still with me? Once you see my scowling visage, then you can navigate to my page and click the follow button. Or just be old school and walk about three steps behind me wherever I go. The next letter is sprucing up. My Colorado blue spruce seems a little peaked. The needles aren't as blue as they used to be, and the foliage in general isn't as full. Is there something I can do to bring back its former good looks? This is signed Tim. Well, you've already done the most important thing, asking me. First, check how much light your spruce is getting. Full sun is best. If that isn't the issue, your tree may be hungry for nutrients. Late winter and early spring, before the buds open, are excellent times to fertilize conifers. Try an organic, slow-release product containing macronutrients, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, as well as micronutrients, sulfur, calcium, and magnesium, and beneficial microbes like Espoma's plantone. Espoma is spelled E-S-P as in Peter, O-M as in Mary, A. Beneficial microbes like Espoma's plantone or halitone. Apply at the rate recommended on the package. And the next entry says, hacked. Are some trees problematic to plant beneath? I'm trying to grow some azaleas under packberries, but having a hard time. By the way, I hate hackberries. Signed, Kathy. You should hate hackberries. And the Latin name here is Celtis occidentalis. You should hate hackberries, Kathy. Despite being native, they are very messy trees. Aphids feed on the leaves and drip sticky honeydew on everything below. Sooty mold then grows on the honeydew and turns the area into Mordor. You can place azaleas underneath them as long as you don't mind blackened foliage. But if those trees were mine, they'd soon meet Mr. Chainsaw. And the next is Goodbye Sunshine. I have an overgrown lemon tree that's about 6 feet tall and 8 feet wide. I need to cut it back. How? What do I do? Please be graphic. Signed, Margie. Warning, graphic content may not be suitable for minors. It sounds like your tree has grown into a thick, impenetrable mess. You want to open it up so sun and air can reach all of the branches. Begin by pruning out the dead ones. Next, cut off those that grow through the center of the tree from one side to the other instead of up and out. If two of them cross or rub, remove one. Also, prune out water sprouts, the thin shoots that grow straight up from a bigger limb without branching. The finished product should have enough space between branches so a bird could fly through the center of the tree without touching them. I hope my instructions were specific without being offensive. Lots of lilacs. I need to move about 20 lilacs that were planted too close to the sidewalk by a previous owner who was trying to make a privacy hedge. They're 3 to 4 years old and 5 feet tall. I'd appreciate your thoughts on when it's best to tackle the move to a better location in the yard. I've been reading your advice in Southern Living for 10-plus years. Signed, Jennifer. Only 10? You must still be in high school. Personally, I wouldn't use lilacs for a clipped hedge, because if you prune at the wrong time, you'll cut off the flower buds. Lilacs without blooms are like Grumpy without perpetual anger. I hope you have a big yard, as each shrub will grow to be 10 to 15 feet tall and wide. Maybe you can plant them as an informal privacy screen somewhere. Move them while they're still dormant. Move them while they're still dormant and space them 10 to 15 feet apart. They need good drainage and bloom best in full sun. Fertilize in the spring. Good luck! And that was the last letter, listeners, and here's Grumpy's gripe of the month. Anyone who receives the gift of an ornamental vine, other than big-flowered clematis, has likely been grievously wronged. Vines start growing very fast and never stop. They'll smother anything they use for support, such as a tree, shrub, arbor, trellis, or old Uncle Bill snoozing in the hammock. Whether they're native or not, this makes them quite invasive. Some kinds spread from their roots, trumpet vine, Japanese honeysuckle, and wisteria. From dropped seeds, morning glory and cypress vine, or from showy fruits that are eaten and scattered by birds, oriental bittersweet or porcelain berry. Other types simply clamber up a tree and grab hold of the one next to it, kudzu, ivy, and akebia. So question the motives of the giver. They may have a score to settle. And finally, double-take flowering quince. Know your plants. This new and improved version of an old favorite gives a better show with less care. And this is a photo of a pretty little red tree. Little tiny red flowers are on it. If you think, if you think flowering quince, and the Latin name is Cannamalis speciosa, is passé, an innovative series called Double Take from Proven Winners will change your mind. First, it's thornless, so you won't get scratched while cutting the flowers or clipping branches to force into bloom indoors. Second, it forms a tidy shrub about 4 feet tall and wide, and needs little pruning. Most importantly, its large, ruffled blossoms offer colors of scarlet, orange, peach, and white, and last longer than those of the older types. Plants may even rebloom lightly in late summer and fall. Adapted to USDA zones 5 to 9, Double Take is deer resistant and likes locations with full sun and well-drained soil. Be on the lookout for it at garden centers this spring. Signed, Steve Bender. Ask the Grump. No question goes unanswered on his Facebook page, which is you can access at facebook.com/ SL, as in Southern Living, Grumpy Gardener. And now on to the grapevine, what Southerners are buzzing about. Spotlight, goods for a good cause. Support small businesses affected by Hurricane Helene. Our friends in Western North Carolina are well on the road to recovery after suffering devastating damage from Hurricane Helene in September. But it's never too late to extend a helping hand. One of the biggest ways people can support the region is to patronize the local businesses that make it so special. Here are four to get you started on your online shopping journey. But you can visit sites like always.exploreasheville.com/love-Asheville. And another site is brandsofwnc.com for more options. The first one we have here, there's a photo of plates of coffee color. It appears to be stoneware, but they are coffee-colored big plates and pasta bowls and dessert bowls of light blue with coffee-colored trim. And there are also white bowls, small dessert bowls of coffee-colored trim. And these are from East Fork in Asheville. Spring for new dishes from this celebrated pottery brand. To help the region thrive, they donated 5% of sale proceeds to relief partners through the end of 2024 and have continued providing aid in the new year. And you can reach them, listeners, at eastfork.com. That's E-A-S-T, F as in fork, O-R-K.com. Hatchet Coffee in Boone. And there's a photo here of a bag with the logo Hatchet on it. It's a light coffee-colored bag sitting on a table of about the same color. And it's got an orange background, and there's some orange in the logo as well. And this is short enough to get finished before we end. Hatchet Coffee of Boone. With beans roasted in the nearby Blue Ridge Mountains, this coffee shop is as local as it gets. An added bonus, 50% of proceeds from their resilient blend, which is also sold online, will benefit Area Relief. And listeners, you can reach them at hatchetcoffee.com. That's HATCHETCOFFEE.com. And we have run out of time for today's episode of Southern Living. I hope you enjoyed it and hope you'll listen next time. I'm Joanna LaForgia, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Once more, that's 919-832-5138. So long till next time.